everything was run from that little modest room, relatively little modest room, right? Everyone's tzoris came to that room, everyone writing to the Rebbe for blessing, for good news, for thing, right? I think back to the time we got engaged, me and your mother, where you write to the Rebbe to ask a blessing, and that was the way we got engaged, that was how you announce your engagement.
You are listening to the JP Show,
where we discuss the issues you care about from a Jewish perspective.
I am Rabbi G.
And I am Rabbi Levy.
And we hope you enjoy this episode.
Welcome everyone back to another JP Show. It's been a while that we've been able to do it like in a normal way. I've been away, things have been hectic. I really had this dream of doing it with Rabbi Levy when I was overseas, but you know, time zones and time differences, and you get swept up in the stuff you're doing there. Yeah. So bottom line is you're taking a bit of a break, but we're back. Wherever you're listening to this podcast, leave a review, subscribe, leave a comment if you can. And here we are. Rabbi Levy, how are you? Thanks for keeping the fort.
Yeah,
holding the fort, like we say, when I was away.
That's right. So you were at the Kinos HaShluchim, which is
the conference.
International conference of Chabad rabbis, something like 6,000 of them. I've been a few times. It's an amazing experience. I didn't go this year, but you represented us. So how was it?
It was truly amazing. I'll just speak about a little bit in a quick recording I made for JP last week, but I was standing on a street corner and it was very windy and there was lots of New York sirens. So I'm not sure if anyone could make out what I said anyway, so I'll repeat some of the stuff.
Yeah.
So I just think, yeah, it's amazing on many levels. I mean, first of all, just the connecting with everyone else. I mean, just very on a very basic level, you know, catching up. I caught up with people I haven't seen like for 40 years.
Mm.
That doesn't mean I and them weren't there previously. It's just very hard to pick people when there's like 6,000 people. So
yeah,
sometimes you bump into them, sometimes you don't. But you're caught up with a lot of people. Also, just the feeling that you're part of a bigger whole, like you're part of an army. It's the army that the Rebbe, Lubavitcher Rebbe, really created before he passed away in 1994, of people going out all over the world. It's grown since then, amazingly.
People doubled.
Thought it. Sorry?
Doubled, even more.
Doubled, tripled. Down the years, yeah. Crazy. People thought it wouldn't, but it did. And his inspiration, his legacy, and everything just continues on. It's very much alive and vibrant, and people are inspired. I mean, just to see people that are just living, like they're living with purpose, they're living with the same mission, and they're really on fire, like so many people. Yeah, I mean, look, there's 6,000 people, so obviously not everyone has the same experience. Some people are struggling at that, but overall, it's just the most amazing, amazing concept.
Yeah. So I want to delve into a few experiences you had there, but first, just a sort of a general thought, right? So obviously, you've given your life to a certain mission, which is, I mean, in a very general sense, it's spreading Judaism, Torah, mitzvot to other Jews, bringing God into this far-flung place of the world where we live in, revealing God, I should say. God's already here. We just have to reveal him. However, when you leave, in this time you took off 2 weeks, you're sort of taking time off from that mission, right? Do you ever feel that guilt, like, why am I taking time off? Shouldn't I be busy doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Like, how does this fit in with the mission?
So there's a touch of that, but really not. I take the cue from the Rebbe himself. Ultimately, he's our boss. So he was the one who encouraged this convention in an amazing way.
Mm.
And there's an expression he would use with regard to other things. That sometimes it's called bitulo zehu kiyuma, which means sometimes when you downgrade something for the purpose of making it stronger. And that's really what makes it alive, right? So it's like everything else. I mean, you have to recharge. And when the mission is enhanced and the mission is strengthened and the mission is made so much more alive, and even ideas and strategies and all kinds of things by doing this. I mean, it's a general principle in life, but I think when it comes to this,
yes,
spiritually speaking, certain things that, you know, I missed a few shurim, I missed a few podcasts, I missed a few this. And that's true, but, and you know, we're not able to talk to people. You know, a lot of things are missing, but you come back differently. You come back much stronger and much more determined and much more alive, which is the main thing.
Yeah, so it's worth it. This might be a little more personal, and obviously the crowd that listens to this is quite a broad crowd and quite diverse. So I'll be interested to hear how you answer this question. obviously a big part of your trip, perhaps I'll maybe even say the most important part of it, and your focus, was visiting the Ohel, the gravesite of the Rebbe, as well as 770, which was the Rebbe Shul. What is that experience to you? Like, why do you do it? Why is it so important for you? What do you experience when you go there? And it's probably hard to put into words, but maybe you can share with everyone, what does that mean to you?
So, yeah, such an interesting question. So, I mean, first of all, when you learn about it and you understand what that is, it's different. But, you know, the truth is, even before we get there, let me begin answering it like this, that when you go to the Ohel of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the resting place of the Lubavitcher Rebbe at the moment, and I went there three times when I was there now, right? I'll talk about the second time, actually, which is in a way very unique, but I went the morning after I arrived. I went the Friday, which was Wednesday morning. I went Friday morning with all the shluchim. There's a big, big gathering of all the emissaries, the shluchim there on the Friday. Then I went the day I left for Pomona, where we spent the last few days with family near Muncie. So I went again. Every time you go there, it is always filled with people. I mean, sometimes it's packed, but it's always filled with people, number one.
Yeah. And any time of the night also, by the way.
Any time of the day and night. The activity is unbelievable, number one. And there's always filled with the most diverse crowd you can think of. From the greatest Haredi Hasidic Jew, who wears a shtreimel on Shabbos, to the most secular Jew. One time I went on the bus, that's called the Ohel bus. Even on the bus, there were all kinds of people. Mm. With yarmulkes, without yarmulkes, with hats, without the hats. Women dressed like religious women dressed, not like that. It's actually incredible. And somehow it's drawing people all the time. It's getting one. The truth is, not only Jews.
I've seen that as well.
Yeah, not Jews. Yeah. So a guy was sitting next to the bus, he says he was once at the Ohel, and this clearly, I think it was African woman, American woman, whatever the case was, clearly someone that wasn't Jewish was at the Ohel, and he just went over to him, wanted to be nice, says, do you need to know what to do? Like, do you want some guidance, some help? And she says, no, I come here often. Every once in a while, when she needs something, she goes to pray. She believes in prayer. She goes to pray at the holiness, at the holy site of the Lubavitcher Rebbe's resting place. So that's number one. So it's not, I guess everyone somehow feels the holiness there. There's something very special. There's something very, very unique there when you dive in there, particularly when you learn about it. Now, also for me personally, don't forget, I saw the Rebbe and I was by the Rebbe, and I had an even private audience when I was a younger child at my bar mitzvah when I was 13, and I was by the Fabrengen. So kind of it's very tangible and real for me. But when I go to the Ohel, I feel that the visual attention, I feel that I could actually, first of all, you daven there, you daven to Hashem at a very resting, at a holy place, which is the Ohel. But also you ask the Rebbe for a bracha, which I did when he was alive. And you feel that it's very, very personal. You feel very, very uplifted there. I always come away, like I did this time, with a lot of confidence, a lot of strength, knowing that the brachas, the blessings, are no less now than they were then. Obviously, we didn't want the situation. It would be beautiful to have him in person, and that's what we pray for Mashiach to come and to be reunited with all our loved ones and so on. But it's very special. Very special. Now, there's something extremely special about the second time. In a way, a little bit less because it's so crowded that you get lost in the crowd. But they have this thing where, as part of the kinnus, as part of the convention, they have this thing where all the shluchim show up on Friday morning by the Ohel. They can't all actually go into the actual room where the resting place is, but there's a whole beautiful preparation program where they show different videos of the Rebbe and talk about the being there, and everyone's together. And there's a sense of, we've all come back to present ourselves to the one who sent us at the end of the day. In other words, we're here because of him. He created this army, he created this mission. He created this program where everyone should just go wherever and spread Yiddishkeit. And this time when we come to the kinnus, it's like reporting back almost. It's like beautiful. It's a very, very special moment. That was the Friday. That was the second time I was there.
And how is it visiting the Rebbe Shul and going to the Rebbe's room? I'm assuming you went there this time.
Yeah, this time I only went briefly because actually it was just so busy. But yeah, bro, the Rebbe's room is amazing because that's the room where everything happens. It's like a very simple. Mm-hmm. So the Rebbe spoke about, when the previous Rebbe passed away, the Rebbe spoke about it. And he said that people shouldn't lose the opportunity of going to daven in the previous Rebbe's room because the holiness is still, whoever principle in Kedusha and holiness, holiness never ceases. It's la'olam, it's eternal. Now, that was a room, I'm in the Rebbe's room. I was in it when he was alive once, when I had a private audience with him. But everything was run from that little modest room, relatively little modest room, right? Everyone's tzoris came to that room, everyone writing to the Rebbe for blessing, for good news, for thing, right? I think back to the time we got engaged, me and your mother, where you write to the Rebbe to ask a blessing, and that was the way we got engaged. That was how you announced your engagement. Mm. And that went into the Rebbe's room, and the Rebbe read it on his desk, and gave a blessing. He wrote the blessing there. The amount of letters, the amount of Torah teaching, the amount of farbrengens that were prepared there. I mean, that room is, it's hard to find a holier spot in the world. Saturated just with so much holiness, so much Torah learning, so much davening, so much blessings. It's unbelievable. So does it always go there as well, always daven there?
Does it bring you back to when you went there? Like when does it? Do you have flashbacks? Do you?
Yeah, a little bit. So that's that when it's well, it depends when it's emptier. You find because the Rebbe's desk is still there, and his chair is still there.
Yeah,
the kinnus at the time was very very packed, so it's hard to like reimagine that room that way. Yeah, but it is, and then the Rebbe's downstairs, the big shul, as always. I mean, to be honest, since you asked me personal, the Rebbe's shul is actually a little bit painful in a way because, like, it's set up the way it was always, but he's not there. Like, his shtend is still there, his chair is still there, but you don't see him physically. So that's a reminder.
Although we do believe that holiness remains, but yeah.
Absolutely, the same thing, which is, I don't know why.
We're still physical people.
Yeah, absolutely. So that part is like a bit of a reminder that
the lack.
Yeah. Things are concealed a bit.
Do you, I mean, that's your experience, which is fascinating. But I mean, I don't know the exact statistic, but a huge amount of the shluchim that were there never actually even saw the Rebbe when he was alive.
Yeah, and this is the
And yet they come back and they also find that place inspiring.
Yeah, and this is the amazing thing. This is where you see how the Rebbe's inspiration and blessing and strength continues on.
And you see how it was real and true because it survives.
Yeah, no, because it's exactly something that's only dependent on the physicality really has an end time.
Yeah.
This doesn't. It's getting stronger and stronger. I mean, it's unbelievable. And not only that, people are alive. They're vibrant. I spent actually, besides the three times I visited the actual burial place of the Rebbe, I spent Shabbos. Like set up, there's tents around and places to eat and all kind of thing. Similar to those who have ever been to Rashbi and Meiron, there's also like a sort of setup like that, right?
Yeah.
And go for Shabbos. And I went for Shabbos. There's many shluchim, not all shluchim, but hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of shluchim were there for Shabbos. It's a beautiful Shabbos experience because you're not anywhere. You're just in the middle of nowhere. Like, I mean, there's no Jewish community around there altogether. It's like only people that traditionally didn't mind living next to a cemetery. So
made a bit of a mistake looking for a quiet area.
But, it's not quite a quiet area anymore. And just hundreds of people. Only thing we did there was daven, learn, ate the Shabbos meals, and farbrengt. A little bit of sleep, a couple of hours. Not very comfortable, but it was okay. And people just sitting and learning, and just people who are young, much younger than me. You never saw that ever, like your age or a bit older. I met some of your friends there. And just their life, amazing their life.
So talk to me a little bit about the kinnus itself. What is the thing that you took from it? What are you coming back with?
So, a bit of a commercial. I'm going to actually talk about it by my Thursday morning shiur tomorrow. But
okay. So
the whole thing is amazing, right? First of all, there's workshops and there's a day of workshops, which is great because different shluchim need different things and it's a big choice and it goes for all day and it's very well run. I mean, the way the whole kinnus is run, it's fascinating. So
you know, by the way, you know that you're getting a little older when you're the one who starts giving the workshops.
I gave a workshop and I was also on a panel in an area which I feel, I guess, a bit more qualified. I do a lot of personal growth stuff and mental health stuff. So there was a stream which dealt with wellness and mental health, things like that, which is really important because at the end of the day, we're all human beings. And in a group of 6,000 families, there will be issues to deal with, statistically, not only for the shluchim themselves, but for their children and for their families. Mm. I mean, don't forget, some of them are very isolated. There was a lot of them that were very, very isolated. Some of them just parenting, strengthening they need, and resilience, how to build resilient families, how to prevent crises, all that kind of stuff. So I gave a bit of a talk about that. Then we were on a panel where just people just asked questions, which was fascinating. But the whole thing is amazing. And I listened to some others. I mean, I wasn't all day, but so then there were some other really, really good presenters. And then there's all kinds of things on Jewish law and fundraising and on education and parenting. It's amazing. Then there's these what we call the general sessions they have at night, mainly Thursday night and Motzei Shabbos. They have like these show, they show beautiful videos, they have different speakers, just inspiring stuff. Then, of course, the highlight of the kinnus is the banquet. The banquet is, it's we're not only shluchim over there, they invite families, friends, supporters, things like that. So it's amazing. I don't know, it must be about 6,500, 7,000 people. I don't know, it was like a crazy amount of people in one room. This is in New Jersey somewhere. And it was very, very well done. And I think extremely, extremely inspiring from different aspects. And I think there were like three segments of different videos and people speaking about their own experiences. And I just came away really blown away just at the amazing faith, resilient. I mean, there was one segment where there was a shliach whose son became very ill. And unfortunately, his legs from the knee down was amputated. And he spoke and just, what amazing faith, what amazing resilience, what amazing, just incredible, right? And they're still going on, and the mission hasn't diminished. On the contrary, they're stronger, inspire the people, and so on and so forth. And then that connected with an unbelievable segment where from Israel, from a hospital, there's a shliach of the Rebbe who's in Israel who went to do reserve duty in the army.
Mm. Right?
Like everyone who works takes off time to go reserve duty, so did he. So, and somewhere in Syria, actually, I think it was. Yeah. And he was hit by a grenade and he lost his legs. And just hear this guy, like, there's no way slowing down. He said, everyone always said that he runs around, he's very quick, he rushes around. He says, well, now he's going to drive. So it's going to be even more, he says. And then they ended up talking to each other. This young child, about 13 years old, talked to the shliach. It was most incredible thing. But just the emunah, the faith and the hope and the not giving up, and you get knocked down, but you stand up again and you keep fighting and keep doing it and maybe change direction a little bit due to the circumstances. But if that's what Hashem wants, then okay, then the mission becomes slightly altered, modified. It's not the same mission, but just slightly redirected or repackaged. Just incredible.
So what are you taking away? What are you coming back with?
So a couple of put you on the spot here. There's a few personal things. I mean,
well, you took off 2 weeks, and I had to take care of Bina for 2 weeks. That's some sort of purpose. True. Otherwise,
so in every organization, in every shlichus, there are always ups and downs, right?
Yeah.
So there was a very big theme this year also on the concept of simcha, right?
Yeah.
Then at the banquet there was these two people, but there was also another shliach who spoke from Jamaica. Now you know Jamaica just was hit by a terrible. But he spoke about, I mean, Jamaica is, to begin with, is not the most inspiring. I mean, we live in Sydney. We have our own set of challenges. But, you know, we live in a community with wonderful people. We see people all the time.
Yeah.
Even the people who are beneficiaries of Bina, for example, we see them and we talk to them. And they inspire us a lot of times. And they just, you know, it's just a community. So we're immersed in a community, which is good. These people, I mean, living in Jamaica is not exactly hustling and bustling center of Judaism anywhere by any stretch of imagination. And it's a lot of it is, you know, it's one of the islands, and a lot of it is dependent on tourism. And just, and this happens to be a shliach, actually he doesn't know me and I don't know him, but he's actually related to us. His grandparents are cousins of ours, and his other grandparents, his grandfather was a shliach, one of the early shluchim of the Rebbe to Morocco.
Mm.
Very, very beautiful Hasidic Jew, and his father is a shliach in Canada. He's a third generation shliach, this guy. And what passion, right? So my takeaway is simcha. We have to always be happy. We have to focus on what is and not on what isn't. Mm-hmm. And yes, there's challenges, and you can wake up in a day and you get knocked down, and it's fine. Don't go in denial. That's true. You feel off for a day. You got to get up and fight. You got to get up and move and just be focused on what you need to do. Be focused on the mission, not on the problem.
It's a great message, and I think it's a message for everyone.
Yeah,
everyone in.
It is.
Because the truth is, as the Rebbe himself said many times, every Jew is a shliach, is a messenger from Hashem to make this world a godly place.
Yep, yep.
It looks different for everyone. Obviously, everyone has their way of doing it, but that's the essence of what we're doing here. So everyone in their mission needs to power on.
Yep, yep.
All right, very inspiring. Okay.
Beautiful. Thank you for listening again. Good to be back. We'll be back next week, please God.
Yeah. We'll see you all
then. Have a wonderful week, everyone.